Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and in particular tonight, we thank you for the book of James. So we pray you would speak to us through your word, spoken to us by Katie, and then preached to us by Andrew. In Jesus' name, amen.
The reading this evening is taken from James chapter 1, verses 19 through to 27. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away, and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world.
Good evening. Well, it's great to be here, and one exciting sermon series James is, but I also feel it's one of those sermon series which often makes you feel a little bit guilty, because there's so much in James which we have to really take on board if we're going to change. And this week we're going to look at the idea of being authentic Christians. What does James teach us about how we can live better lives? So what does being an authentic Christian mean? What does being authentic mean? Well, I think if you're authentic, you're not fake. You're not just a show. And I'm sure that you come across people in your day-to-day life, whether it's at work or whether it's at school or college or wherever, and you often think to yourself, are these people real? Or if I scratch beneath the surface, is there something about them that's not quite right? And I'm sure if you think about the people you see on TV or the news, and of course at the moment we've got so much about politics at the moment, I'm sure you can think about politicians, but you could probably think of people who over time you've seen and not, they're not authentic. There's something not quite right about them. Jimmy Savile springs to mind. You know, so many people thought he was doing great things until it all came out about what he was like, and they were shocked. Or what about sports personalities? I do like watching the Tour de France every now and again when it's on, and I was shocked like many when Lance Armstrong, the cyclist, was found to have been taking performance-enhancing drugs. Somebody who seemed authentic ended up having people's dreams shattered about them because they weren't real. It's the inconsistencies in their lives that stop them being fully authentic. It changes how we see them. Because underneath their outward exterior, what was inside just wasn't good. And if there's one thing that James is trying to do in this series that we're looking at in his letter, is to show us how we can live authentic lives as Christians. Because James wants us to have an authentic faith. He wants us to have an authentic relationship with God. He doesn't want us to be those nominal Christians, the ones who glide along, go to church services, they say their prayers, they look holy and really nice, but actually underneath, they don't change at all. They're the same tomorrow and they're going to be the same in a month's time. No matter what they do, they just stay the same. Their life doesn't change, the word doesn't change them. And in this passage, James is going to give us some pointers of how we can live more authentic lives. And I've got 3 points to say. Traditional Anglican sermon, 3 points, is what I'm going to talk about today. And the first is what he talks about in verses 19 to 20. Hasty speech and anger that don't please God. I'll just read the verses again. Verse 19, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. James starts off in this section by giving us a quick litmus test. This is how you can be authentic. Are you quick to listen? Are you slow to speak? Are you slow to get angry? Now, that's not the kind of test that I really want. If I want to be a good Christian, I want the kind of test where, do you pray every day? Yes, I can tick that off. Do I read my Bible? Yes, I can tick that off. Do I go to church on a Sunday, or maybe even twice if I go on a Wednesday? Yes, tick that off. That's the kind of thing that I want, that I can easily see this is what a Christian is. But James is talking about something different, and it's not that easy. Listen more, talk less. You know, one of the most difficult skills as a teacher, I was a teacher for 20 years before I stopped to train, and one of the most difficult skills I found getting children to do is listen. It's really difficult. And I know how that feels, because I do not find listening very easy at all. And anybody who gets to know me well will know that that is not what I do. My dad always used to say, Andrew, engage your brain. Think before you speak. Because I've got so many things in my head, I just go at 100 miles an hour. I always had these two the other way around. Quick to speak, slow to listen. And then I get angry when people don't understand me. And if I'm honest, I probably do the same thing quite a lot now. The number of times in this last couple of few months as I've been getting to know people, I've had to tell myself, listen more. Now, you might not have a problem with listening. I know some people here already. I know you're brilliant at listening. Anger might be your problem. Anger might be the thing that is the most difficult. And when we get angry, we often try to justify why we've got angry. We might put it onto somebody else or to something else. And all of a sudden, we're trying to give reasons as to why we've got like this. We try and defend it. And James makes clear to us that this is not good. So why is James singling these three things out? He could have done a huge list of them, couldn't he? Well, I guess for many of us, it's because actually, these are the ones that often get us into the most trouble. If I don't listen to people, I don't really hear what they have to say. And if I don't hear what they have to say, I don't fully understand them. And then I might get frustrated or angry. And then my response to them isn't very clear. I might go off in a different direction. And I bet we do this with God too. How good are you at listening to God? Because if we don't listen to God properly, if we don't let Him speak to us, then we won't understand what He wants to do in our lives or the lives of others. And we might get angry, we might get frustrated, we might get cross. And then those things stop us from having a right relationship with Him. It becomes all about me. And it stops us from being authentic. But just as an addition to this first few verses, note what James doesn't do. He doesn't say, don't speak or don't be angry. He uses the word slow. And there might be times when actually it's justifiable to get angry. In Ephesians 4, verse 26, it says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. If we become angry, and there might be reasons why that's good, we've got to severely keep it in its place. And as James says, take it slow. So that's the first thing that James is saying to us. And James is thinking in that first part about the outward thing, what we do, the listening, the speaking. And in the next little verse, he talks about the inward, and this is a really big verse. Verse 21, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. You know, the one thing I really love about James is that compared to some parts of the Bible where you might have to really struggle to understand what he's saying, he's quite clear in that, and he's very much to the point. Get rid of all the things that are wrong in your life. If you want to live outwardly better, you've got to sort the inward out. Our inner world, that private world, what we hear, what we know, what we think, what we feel, those are all going to affect the outward. If we want to be better outwardly, We need to be better inwardly. And I was trying to think of an example for this, and the one that struck me and came to my mind was Christmas morning. We've just had Christmas, I'm sure you all remember it, a few weeks ago. See, I always tend to find in my house that on Christmas Eve, particularly if you've got people coming to you on Christmas Day, you tend to make sure the house is tidy. So you just imagine it's 12 o'clock, you're going to bed, your house is clear. And then by 7:30 on Christmas morning, particularly if you've got young kids, it's the tip. Presents are unwrapped and kids don't care about putting paper in a nice little part of the side. They just rip it off and it's scattered. As they got older, I realised that the only way to solve it is putting it into a recycling bag. But they unwrap presents so quickly that before you know it, it's still a mess again. And you can't move around easily and there's piles everywhere. And in my head, that's what our lives are like inside. We have got all this evil and filth all over the place, and you can't see or move or do things easily. We live in a society that makes us filthy. The things we do, the things we watch, the things we say, the things we listen to, the bad relationships that we had. I think if we were to look inside our own lives, I think we would probably be shocked by what is inside. And I'm sure at times we would struggle to see the word of God planted inside us that could save, because it's just lost. It's lost in the evil and the filth that have built up. And James's clear point is simple. Clear it out. Get rid of it. Because the inner self affects the outer. Now, it's interesting that the NIV uses the word prevalent, widespread. It is not just in a little section of our lives. This is spread out across the whole of our lives. But it's hard for us as adults. You just have to turn on your computer or your mobile phone. And you can quickly access things that are just not good for us. And I'm not just thinking here about things like pornography, which we all know are bad. It's other things. It's the information we read. It's the things that we might look at, websites that might lure us. It might even be simple things, like do we constantly look at things that we want to buy? The next thing to replace the thing we've already got. But it takes us away from thinking about the Word of God. Now, I taught for 18 years in secondary education, and I think if it's hard for adults, how hard is it for our young people? Especially with the technology that they have. Computer games that are so addictive, you can spend more of your time playing a computer game than in the real world. Takes them away from actually meeting people. Or text messaging, which we all know, the way we communicate, where it's so easy to get a message and respond. I've had to try really hard sometimes when I've kind of been in college in these last few months, that your phone kind of beeps and you have to just don't look at it because you've got to concentrate on what you're doing. But it's so easy, isn't it? Get a text, respond to it, and if it's something you're a bit cross about, how do you respond? If you want to know how bad technology is, just take away a phone from a teenager and see how they react. Okay? It's one of the hardest jobs that I felt I had to do as a teacher, is when it got to the point you had to confiscate a phone. But adults as well. I've read stories of adults in the workplace who they're banned from using their phone and that's it, they go to tears. But these things just add to our lives that are bad, the filth, the evil. And there'll be many other things as well. Before we know it, we stop listening and responding to people properly. We start speaking quickly and we become frustrated and angry. And James says, clear that out. And when we do clear it out of our lives, we have to replace it with something good, the Word of God. And Paul writes in 2 Timothy 3:16-17. He says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. The right attitude in accepting the word can save us. It makes us more authentic. It makes us more real. It can make us better. But it's also about doing. And that then moves on in this passage to the next part. Because it drives home the importance of the word in our lives. And so the third thing that James is talking about is being active and not passive. It's about doing. Now, I won't read all the verses again, but verses 22 to 25 just kind of point this out. Verse 22 makes clear what he said in verse 21. And you find echoes of these in other parts of the Bible. Take, for example, Romans 2:13. For it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law who will be justified. For it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law who will be justified. And also in Luke 11, verse 28, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Because James is saying to us, it's very easy to hear the word of God and do nothing about it. The nominal Christians who just plod along day in, day out. You know, you may read the Bible every day. You might do regular Bible study with your Connect group or with other groups. You might go off and pray and take time out and try to let the word of God sink in. And James says, great, that's really, really good. But there's a but. But if you do nothing with the word that you have heard and read and reflected upon, if you do nothing, then you are simply deceiving yourself. Hearing the word must have action with it. You must do something after hearing. And then James uses an illustration, which I really love this illustration. And the next three verses, 20-25, show this. Now you and I, we are used to looking in mirrors or looking at a photograph. And when I was younger, when I actually used to have hair, which I haven't had hair properly since I was in my 20s, which is a long, long time. But when I was younger, I used to be a little bit vain. I used to have spiked hair and a flat top. If you remember Madness from the 80s and what they were like. I remember telling my students this once, and they just couldn't believe that I ever had long hair at all. I would be really vain. I would know exactly what my hair was like. Just a little feel, and I would know that hair was out of place, and I'd whip a mirror out. I actually carried a small little mirror around with me, believe it or not, I was that vain, and a comb. I would actually look and check that my hair was precisely how it should be. But mirrors back in those days weren't like the mirrors that we have today. They would have been polished pieces of metal. They would get tarnished easily, and you couldn't just glance in it. Quick glance at me, sort hair out, and I'm back. They couldn't do that. And James uses this image of the mirror to do a contrast between the two types of people. The first is the people who, they look in the mirror, they look at the word, they glance at it, and then they give it no further thought. The key failure of a person like this is that they look and they listen to something, maybe take it in a little bit, but actually, it's not really that important, so it's just pushed aside, and it's dismissed. It's got no real use to them, and so nothing happens with it. But verse 25 in our passage takes the contrasting view. It is the second person. It's the person who hears the word and acts upon it. And notice that the passage doesn't say it's a quick glance. It's an intense glance. It's looking at something. But it's not turning away and pushing it out the way. It's not forgetting what has been heard or seen. I came across a phrase when I was looking at some of the different books on this. And one of the phrases for this was, it's about applying yourself to the word so you may apply the word to your life. Applying yourself to the word so you may apply the word to your life. That's what the best Christian who's authentic does. It's seeing and hearing the word and letting it be taken in and then doing something about it. And again, it's worth making a note of what's happening in this passage. James changes the use of word to perfect law. And we see roots here into the Old Testament way of thinking, the law given by God. And if you remember in the Old Testament, God constantly had to remind the Israelites to remember the law. Just look back at your Old Testament. He's constantly having to go back to them and say, you've forgotten again. Something's going to happen. You've forgotten again. He wanted them to remember the law and be able to do what the law says. He wanted them to remember the mercy that he'd shown and all the good things and all the acts that he'd done. Because the law was perfect that was given by God. Psalm 19, verse 7 says this. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. I love that. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. But as Christians, we know that it's not just about the Old Testament law. Because for Christians, it's also about the fulfillment of the law. It's all about Jesus Christ. Jesus who gave us freedom, who died on the cross for us. We have to be able to take in the word, the perfect law that is given by Christ. And we are to be doers of what we have heard. The word of God that we take into our lives has to have an action with it. We need to be using what the word is teaching us to change our lives and to change others. And so this then begs a question of us today. Are we authentic Christians who hear the word and act upon it? Are you and I authentic? Are we prepared to change our lives because of the word? Let's be honest. This is difficult. Because all of us here have sinned. All of us here have got sin within our lives. And it's because of all that sin that we all need to come before God. So how can we do that? James has made it clear, we've already talked about it. We've got to go to our internal life and to look at how we can get rid of all those things that are causing problems. And then let the word take root and act upon it. Each of us needs to prayerfully look at our own lives and think about what is it, what are those little bits in our life that needs to change? And then slowly, we need to ask God to help us to get rid of those things in our lives. But we can only do that with God's help, because the filth is so widespread. When I was thinking about this, I got a picture of gardening. I hate gardening. Really hate gardening. It's the kind of thing where you kind of do it because you have to do. But the one thing that really annoys me about gardening is when you get a weed that intertwines around something like ivy or some one of those others, I've got no idea what they're called, they're just things I think you just rip out. But it gets into your life and it twists around. And it's not something easy to get rid of. You can't just pull it up and put it in the bin. You've got to really work to get rid of that ivy or the thing that's intertwined. And I think that's what it's like in our life. The filth, the sin, it's there, but it's not easy to get rid of. So what do you and I need to do? Well, we've got to come to God and we've got to be honest with ourselves. But we've not got to put it off to tomorrow. I'm reminded of a famous line by St. Augustine. When he was younger, he had a lustful desire, always wanted to do the wrong thing. And he said, I prayed, Lord, make me chaste, but not now. And that's the problem. We often know what the right thing to do is, but we don't want to do it now. We want to do it tomorrow or next week or the week after. I have been trying my hardest to get on the running machine since Christmas, but every day I've got an excuse as to why I shouldn't get on the running machine and try and lose a little bit of what I put on at Christmas. But if we put it off, we'll never do it. And so that's the challenge that we have. Are we going to act on the word now and not next month? So let's just finish this off as the band are coming up to prepare to worship in a moment. So what is James actually then saying? He's saying we live in a world of sin. We live in a world that hates the light and it hates the word. And this affects us negatively. It changes how we listen. It changes how we speak. It makes us quick to get frustrated and angry. And all of us need to look very carefully at our lives. What is it in our life that we need to clear out? What is it that needs to get sorted so the word can be planted that we can then act on? It may be that we need to pray about these things. It may be we need to get others to help us to pray through things. It may be we need to take some of these things bit by bit. Clear one thing out first, clear one weed first, before we move on to the next. Importantly, James says we must be doers, not those nominal Christians that never change. So maybe why don't we just stand as I come to the end? Why don't we all just stand? Lord God, this is a powerful word from James. It's a powerful message. How can we get rid of the filth and the evil in our own lives so that we can allow the word to settle, for us to be able to see and hear the word? Lord God, I pray and ask this evening that you will allow us to hear this message from James, that we can think about what is in our own lives and how we can do something tonight. Maybe start that process, whether it's now, whether it's this evening as we're maybe doing our evening prayers, or but Lord, I ask that you will help each one of us to deal with what is in our lives so that the word of God can be active within us. And then as verse 25 says, we will be blessed by God for all that we do. Amen. Worthy of every